Revelation chapter 1. So a series of Revelation, and you'll think, well, oh my, thought we were on, we finished 22, back to chapter 1. What I've decided to do is, because it's taken us so long, we should do a little bit of a review. And so when I came back to chapter 1, and so you'll see in the, I think in the bulletin, it might say chapters 1, 2, and 3. So when I came back to chapter 1 and I read the third verse, I was convicted, needing to apologize here, that, you know, we've gone through the book of Revelation and we didn't read every verse. And verse 3, which is our verse for the week, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And my assumption was, you'll be reading those verses, but maybe that's not such a good assumption. Maybe we should have. It's a good practice. I think Arlen does it for the most part, like in the life of Christ, he's reading every verse. And I failed to do that, and I apologize. And so I'm not sure how this will be, but we'll give it a try today. And I'd like to that we would just reread, we would read it for the first time as a group. And I'd also like to give some commentary on it as well. Just to talk about the reading of Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 9 through 13, Deuteronomy 31, 9 through 13, and just we're going to look at like three different places where the Word of God was read corporately. Deuteronomy 31, 9, "And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all that all the words of this law. Verse 13, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it." So that was the commandment there for Israel, every 7 years, at the end of every 7 years, that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy should be read to the congregation. And the purpose, so verse 11 says that thou shalt read this law, and then the purpose there in verse 12 is that they may hear and may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. And verse 13, that their children, which have not known anything, may hear. And so once every 7 years, that's pretty good to catch young people. A child that's just born, 7 years later, it's going to be old enough to... I trusted Christ for salvation when I was seven. And that's a very good time to really understand. I know children even younger than that, 4 and 5 years old, understand their lost condition. And the Holy Spirit can work in young people's lives. And so there, the command to read so that people can hear and so that people can obey or observe. Joshua chapter 8, verse 35. Joshua chapter 8, verse 35. "There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. And so there we see that that command had been fulfilled all the way along, all the way even up to Joshua's time. And Joshua read the word of God to the congregation of Israel. And then, after they came out of, then we also know that the kings read the scriptures, King David, King Solomon, and all the kings of Israel were to not only read the scriptures, but they were to actually copy out a copy for themselves. And Nehemiah, after the children of Israel were coming back out of bondage in Babylon, Nehemiah 8, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Ezra, Nehemiah. So in Nehemiah 8, verses 5 through 8, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Pelatiah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And so there we see that tradition, which was based on the command to them to read the word of God. They read the word of God, those first five books of the law. And not only that, but how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 individual people plus the Levites caused that they would hear the word of God. So they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So there was preaching back then as well. And so that's what we do. We preach. But the key point here to make is that the word of God be read and that the word of God be heard. My words are not so important. The preacher's words is not as important as the word of God. Preacher's words can help to, as it says here, give the sense and cause them to understand the reading. But most, you need the information first. You need the pure, unadulterated word of God first. So that you can, the Holy Spirit can work in your heart to be able to judge whether what has been explained to you is true or not. And the Holy Spirit will be a good tuning fork in your life if the Word of God is in your heart and your mind and in your hearing. And the interesting thing is, in Nehemiah, there not only was it read, the book of the law read, and that the people understood. But the next day, you'll read further on, that they obeyed the command regarding the Feast of Booths. They said, well, look, this Feast of Booths we're supposed to observe. Well, let's do it. And so they did. They not only was the Word of God read, it was heard, and it was obeyed. And so that's what we have here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 is our key verse for the week. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And I would just like it for us to stand at this time in the reading of God's word, and we'll just read chapter 1 together. And Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of the things and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they turned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write these, the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just remain standing for prayer. Dear God, I pray that thou would help us to, and I'm thinking of myself in particular, to always give preeminence to thy word, to read thy word and make it known. Thy word, thy holy word, that is the word that we need to observe and hear. And may you give my thoughts and words that be pleasing to thee, that I could give the sense of some of this passage, and by thy Holy Spirit, and we know that it's thy Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth, brings to remembrance all the things that you've taught us, and pray for each one of here that knows thee as their Savior, that they would be sensitive to thy Holy Spirit and testing the scriptures to see whether, or testing the preaching to see whether it be true or not, and also to look and to see where things that apply to each one of us, dear God, that you have for us this day and the coming week and the days to come. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated. And so today it's just like, again, an introduction to the book of Revelation. The title of the book is, and I pointed out to you before, I've got a Bible here that it's written. It says, The Revelation of St. John the Divine. And so that's incorrect. That's not the correct wording there, because the very first verse says the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of St. John the Divine. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the title of the book. Revelation is the word apocalypsis, and it means unveiling, the unveiling. It's not, some people think that Revelation is hidden secrets, hidden mystery, but no, it's the unveiling of things that at one time were a secret or mystery. So this revelation, apocalypsis, is the unveiling of it, of information that God wants some people to know. Now the focus is on Jesus Christ. That is what the focus is. Not on the Antichrist. It's not on the nations of this world, the globalism that's going on. It's not on a lot of the things that the world puts emphasis on when they talk about Revelation. The focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that was given this revelation by God. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So who's the letter written to? Who is this revelation, book of Revelation written to? It's written to it's written to be shown unto the servants of Jesus Christ. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So who wrote it? The Apostle John. Jesus Christ, or pardon me, God is the author, and the Apostle John is the writer. God is the author of all the Bible, and there were 40 different writers over a period of 1,600 years from different countries and different writers who had different backgrounds. And over 1,600 years, the Word of God written as God the author wanted it to be written. And so some people are afraid of prophecy, and just looked a little bit into John Calvin. Didn't like the book of Revelation. Neither did Martin Luther. In fact, Martin Luther didn't believe that it was part of the canon of Scripture. One of the reasons is because many of these people that don't like Revelation are believe that Israel no longer has a role to play in end times. And Revelation makes it very clear that this tribulation is a fulfillment of prophecies in the Old Testament that Israel will become a nation again, which now it has. And not only that, but it will actually be called to task for having rejected the Messiah, and a remnant will be saved. And that's what Revelation is all about from chapters 6 through 19, is tribulation on the nation of Israel. And so these others would like to say, oh no, Israel has no part, and any reference in Revelation to Israel is really just talking about the church. Here we find the revelation of Jesus Christ written, given to John to be written down. And from where was it written? Domitian was ruling in Rome at the time. According to Tertullian, Domitian had plunged the Apostle John into boiling water, or boiling oil. But John survived. And because of that, Domitian then allowed him to live, and he exiled him to the island of Patmos. And that's what we read there in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. So early in verse 1, we saw that this revelation is for the servants of Jesus. That's who it's written to, is servants of Jesus. Not to the world, not to the lost. And so the Apostle John is saying, I, John, who also am your brother, so brother in the faith, believer in Christ, and companion in tribulation. So he had suffered persecution, and now here on the Isle of exiled into Patmos, he's a companion in tribulation to the seven churches. Verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why was Domitian so angry at him? And why are so many of the Roman leaders so angry, and the Jewish leaders so angry with the apostles? Because they talked about another kingdom, not these kingdoms that these people were building for themselves, earthly kingdoms. But John wrote about another kingdom, and he's talking about the kingdom of God. And so they felt that these apostles and Christians were threats to their power on earth. So to whom was it written? To believers in Christ, struggling churches. John wrote the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. John wrote that for unbelievers. He said that he had written that that they would believe in the Son of God. Revelation, on the other hand, is written for believers. In verse 11, it says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. So these were seven churches in Asia Minor, in Turkey. These were churches that were suffering persecution in different degrees. And so to his fellow believers, it was written. And so we believe that not only was it written to them, but to all churches, all believers, and they were representative in their love of God, their faith in God through Jesus Christ, and also the persecution that they suffered. And key to understanding one of the keys to understanding Revelation is, when was it written? And it's becoming more of an issue these days. When was it written? It was written in AD 95. The Apostle John had discipled a man by the name of Polycarp. And Polycarp discipled Irenaeus. And Irenaeus wrote in his writings titled Against Heresies, he wrote in 5.30.3, quote, the apocalypse was not seen long ago, but almost in our own time, at the end of the reign of Domitian, end of quote. Domitian left the throne in AD 96. Now, there are some folks who this doesn't fit in their narrative. So what they want to do is they want to have the Revelation be written around 60 AD. Well, Domitian was not even on the throne at that time, and wouldn't be for many years later. And so that's a problem. So they have to discredit or discount the written history of when the date at which Revelation is written. And what is their narrative? Well, there are three positions that people take, general positions that people take regarding Revelation. One of them is preterists. Preterists believe that everything, or almost everything, in Revelation has already been fulfilled before AD 70. So that's why they want to have it written before AD 70 is because they've already made up their mind that this has already been fulfilled, and that the Great Tribulation and the terrible things that are talked about in Revelation were culminated in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And so that's why they do that. And it's becoming more prominent nowadays because so many more people, professing Christians, are following on this line of reasoning rather than looking at history. So that's one position where people believe that everything in Revelation has already been fulfilled. Now, there's another group of people that call themselves historicists, and they claim that many of the prophecies of Revelation have been fulfilled during the past 2,000 years. So over the past 2,000 years, they've claimed that most of Revelation has already been fulfilled, and that references regarding Israel are not really Israel, but the church. Now, so most of you recognize that this is just review. We've already discussed this, maybe more than once. But I just wanted to bring this up again because it's important to know in these days that there's an increasing hatred towards Israel as a nation. And so some people are confused and they're going, well, but this globalist movement is actually recognizing Israel as a nation. So maybe that's, maybe the globalists are really what the church should be following. Well, the scripture is clear that the globalists, because they've lost before, they've tried many times to destroy the nation of Israel. This time, they're going to make a false peace with Israel and double-cross Israel. And Israel's going to fall for it. They're going to fall into believing that the world is endorsing them and recognizing them as a nation. Now, our position here has been that of futurist. We believe that the church is in heaven after chapter 4, or from chapter 4, verse 1 and on, up into Revelation 19, when they come back to earth with Christ. And so as futurists, we believe that the majority of what's written in from chapter 4 to the end of Revelation is all future in proper context. And so we believe that the tribulation that's spoken of in Revelation is for the nation of Israel, and that a remnant of Israel will trust in Christ for salvation and lead others to Christ by their witness from every tribe except the tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan is excluded there in the list of the tribes that are witnesses of Christ. Witnesses described in chapter 7 and chapter 14. And so, just in line with the key verse, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And so I'll just read I'll just read the next two chapters. And I'll remind you again, the outline of chapter 1 is written in verse 19, or the outline of the whole book is written in chapter 1, verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen. Okay, and so that was just prior verses, which thou hast seen. And the things which are, and we believe that's chapter 2 and chapter 3, the existing churches. And the things which shall be hereafter, and we believe that's starting in chapter 4, verse 1, where the Apostle John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And so we believe that hereafter is referring to this outline, that after chapter 4, those are the things that are hereafter. So the things that he had seen, well, he had seen a marvelous vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory in the midst of the seven candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt with a paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had burned, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. Interesting. See, a lot of people say, "Oh, I had a vision of Jesus Christ. I died, went to heaven, saw a vision," and they don't describe Jesus Christ the way the Bible describes Christ. Very interesting. I'm saying we can't give credibility to those folks. And so then that's what John had seen, and he wrote that down for us. And then the things that are, and that is the seven churches. Chapter 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. And unto the angel, okay, and that's the end of verse 7. And so just giving the sense of this, as we read, they did in the Old Testament. So giving the sense up to the end of verse 7, we find that as a church, they could be taken out of their place, removed from their place. A church can lose its effectiveness. Now, it's not talking to individuals here about them losing their place, but as a church, corporate body, if they don't serve the function that God has for them, they will lose their place. And but thou hast one thing, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now, how do they overcome? How does it, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life? And we know that from chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Overcoming him by the blood of the Lamb. And by other writings that John had written, John wrote the Gospel, and he also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And in 1st John 5, verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so how does, to him that overcometh, how does he overcome? By faith in Jesus Christ, by the blood of the Lamb. And so this church that we speak of there could be taken out of its place as a church, but the individuals are saved by overcoming through the faith in Christ and blood of the Lamb. Now, we as a church, we are praying to God to provide for us a pastor. We need a pastor. And God knows our need, and we continue to pray with us as we pray for a pastor. And verse 8, and unto the angel, of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And so we're introduced to some more information about a second death. The first death, where our body dies, everybody's familiar with that. But what's this second death? It's separation from God for eternity. And that we learned much in chapter 20, the second death in 21, chapter 21. And there again, there's some that say they're Jews and are not. Earlier in Ephesus, in the church of Ephesus, there were some that said they were apostles and are not. We have quite a movement in our city these days, and province, and Western Canada. A number of folks, it's called the New Apostolic Reformation Movement, and they call themselves apostles. And they say, yeah, the Bible is good, but you want to know the latest for you? They claim to get words from God directly to you. And no, they say they are apostles and are not. So as a church, we ought not follow them. And here there's some that will say, and at that time they said that they were Jews and are not. So there are folks that falsely claim to be Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And then verse 12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And there again, to him that overcometh, overcometh by the blood of the Lamb, by faith in Jesus. Who is he that overcometh? He that overcometh. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And so that was written to the church in Pergamos. And remember, we discovered that Pergamos actually was the keeper of Egyptian idol worship and idolatry. And that is where John is revealing to us by God that that's where Satan's seat is. And yet that church was successful right in the midst of all that. And so that's the first three churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos. And now here in verse 17, in verse 18, and unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce thy servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I have given her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his word. So that ends chapter 2, and that's the first four of the seven churches. And so there again, he that overcometh, but also keepeth my works, because it's pointing out who will be ruling over different ones, ruling over nations. And we know that there's the judgment seat of Christ. There are different rewards given out, and part of that has to do with how they will rule believers, how we will rule different nations in the kingdom of God. And so there we give are some warnings given to churches in Asia at the time, and we believe that they can apply to us. There are different churches in today that are can be described much the same way of each of these, and also the next three that we will read about, Lord willing, next time, because we have run out of time for today. But Lord willing, we'll be able to do this review, not only a review, but actually read the scripture itself that pertain. And again, I say it's most important to be reading the scriptures. And so that's just the beginning of our review again, Revelation. May God add his rich blessing. Again, I say, when we read his word, his Holy Spirit can help us to understand if the description of it is proper or not. Well, let's just bow for a word of prayer as we dismiss. Dear God, we just pray that thou would use thy word to speak to our hearts this day, that we can apply it to our lives, and that it would be meaningful to us. Recognize that there is a joy to be reading Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a joyful thing for the believer. For the lost, it's not. It's a frantic looking to see, is it true? Are things being fulfilled? Should I believe it? Is it true? Well, it's too late. I mean, the scripture is clear. Without faith, it's impossible to please thee. Whoever comes to thee must believe, number one, that thou art. And thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. And so anyone can be a believer, that we are created. We are different than the animals. And that is thy general revelation to us by creation, as we've learned in Romans chapter 1, that thy creation, no one is with an excuse. There is no one that has an excuse, because it's creation that tells us that you exist, you are a creator, and we're beholden to thee. And secondly, that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. And so people that diligently seek thee will will find thee. You will show them the way. And we thank thee for that promise. And many of us have. We pray for those that haven't, that they would find that way. So that revelation can be a blessing, just a wonderful, exciting thing. We know where we came from, why we're here, and we know where we're going, how things are unfolding. It's tremendous. We thank thee for this, dear God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right.